This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I wanted to have stuff that was like, you know, more conversation oriented. So that we're podcast the podcast, not necessarily podcast a quiz show. Like I don't have to do that. And that's so freeing.
Hey guys, just a couple of quick things. If you've never listened before, at least listen to the first minute or so of episode 2 so you understand our rules. That's going to make things a lot less confusing for you.
Hello and welcome to Pretty Much Random. I'm Alex.
I'm Ness.
And I'm Sammy. And I'm taking this opportunity to hold Ness hostage. Today, I have about 4 pages prepped, 3.5 of which is a plea to get Ness to watch or finish watching Arcane.
Which I have not done yet, so...
I know, exactly. So I don't know that Alex knows anything about this, and maybe they've heard me talk about it, but Ness, what do you know about Arcane?
I've watched season 1, and I know that it's League of Legends, the animation.
A little bit derivative. But I mean, that's largely true. It's largely true. I actually didn't know you watched the whole first season.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Alex, have you heard anything about this show at all?
The only thing I've heard of is the stuff you guys have said in our group chat.
I do have a little bit of a synopsis. Set in Riot's League of Legends universe, it primarily focuses on sisters Vi and Jinx, Violet. However, it also focuses on a fairly large ensemble cast and balances the number of characters and relationships quite well, in my opinion, amidst escalating unrest between the rich, utopian city of Piltover and the seedy, oppressed underbelly of Zaun. Sisters Vi and Powder find themselves embroiled in a developing conflict over clashing convictions and arcane technologies. Discovery and danger collide as heroes are born and bonds are broken.
Also, Imagine Dragons is there.
Literally, actually, Imagine Dragons wrote the title song for the show. And in one of the episodes, there's a bar scene in which they are animated as being the bar band singing that song. Okay, so on to some awards and accolades, just to give a broader idea of how the show was received. So they were nominated for Best Television Production by the Annecy International Animated Film Festival, and they pretty much swept the Annie Awards in 2022 for Best General Audience Animated TV Broadcast Production, Outstanding Achievement for Animated Effects in an Animated TV Production, Outstanding Achievement for Character Animation, Outstanding Achievement for Character Design, Outstanding Achievement for Directing in an Animated Television Show, Outstanding Achievement for Production Design in an Animated Show, Outstanding Achievement for Storyboarding in an Animated Show, Outstanding Achievement for Voice Acting in an Animated Show, Outstanding Achievement for Writing in an Animated Show. They won Best Edited Series in the British Film Editors Cut Above Awards. They were nominated for the Best Animated Show at the Dorian Awards 2022. They won Outstanding Achievement in Sound Editing at the Golden Reel Awards, Best Streaming Animated Series, Hollywood Critics Association TV Awards in 2022. They were nominated for Best Dramatic Presentation in Short Form at the Hugo Awards in 2022. They won Outstanding Animated Program for the Primetime Creative Arts Emmy Awards, nominated for Outstanding Sound Design. They won Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation, and they were nominated for Best Animated Series for the Saturn Awards in 2022, won Best Adaption at the Game Awards December 2022. It won a lot.
Apparently.
It
definitely is a high-quality animated program. I'm not disparaging the quality of the show, just the restraint of the story itself, where it can go.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I think it's more about, it's very character focused and relationship focused. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more about the characters, the relationships, and their journeys. And to be fair, spoilers, I guess, I'm gonna spoil one thing. One person does die. Two people are basically obliterated, and one person is presumed dead, although most don't think that she is.
Interesting.
Are they still in the game?
Yes, they are in the game, of course.
So they've abandoned it being canonical?
Because
that
canonical.
Would be a big point in its favor. I mean,
it's
if
canonical.
Dead people are in the game, how can it be canonical?
Because it's a game!
Okay, games have stories.
So one of the people who dies is technically of an immortal race. So...
Okay. That's literally what I said.
Yeah, I know. Two of the characters in the show who, like, are obliterated, the only way that they could come back is just through magic. They're gone. The show boasts a totally original soundtrack, which I didn't realize until I actually looked it up. Every song in the show was written for the show. Artists include Sting, Woodkid, Pusha T, Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park, Marcus King, and 21 Pilots, and a bunch of people that I never knew up until then.
And Imagine Dragons.
I specifically did not list that because I just don't care.
You want to hear some wild shit about Fraggle Rock?
Yeah!
I would love nothing more.
You know the Fraggles eat the Doozers' buildings. The Doozers were the little dudes that built stuff out of, like, white sticks. Their buildings were made out of radishes that the giants that wanted to eat the Fraggles grew. The reason they grew radishes is because if they don't make a special medicine out of it, they literally just blink out of existence.
So they have to... eat the Fraggles?
No, they just want to eat the Fraggles. They have to have the radishes. But the Fraggles and the Doozers are stealing the radishes.
I love that. I was prepared to be like, well, you know, I guess that's just nature. You know, you can't change that. And then I was like, no, they don't need to eat the Fraggles. They want to eat the Fraggles. Wow.
To be fair, we don't have to eat pigs and cows and stuff. We just want to eat pigs and cows and stuff. Like, people are vegan and vegetarian and survive just fine. So are we any better than those creatures?
Yes. I would argue that that's true now. But before we had the means for it, we did have to eat meat. Cooked meat was one of the major reasons that we evolved the way we did. We had the energy to devote to brains.
Yeah, but it didn't get us very far because most people don't have a lot of brains these days, so didn't do us any good.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go back to filleting Arcane for a second.
I was wondering where that sentence was going.
Every single character has a motivation for what they're doing. Even the so-called villains have a reason for doing what they're doing that isn't just being evil for the sake of being evil, even if you disagree with what they're doing. Some of my favorite quotes from the show: there is no prize to perfection, only an end to pursuit. We can't change what fate has in store for us, but we don't have to face it alone. What makes you different makes you strong. It's a sad truth that those shine the brightest often burn the fastest. That which inspires us to our greatest good is also the cause of our greatest evil. One of the reasons I really like the show is because of the themes. In fact, actually, the person who does, like, some of the most heinous things in the show is the one who says, in my experience, no one in power is innocent, and there is no beast more savage than man.
Mm.
Which I think is true.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that they portray a friendship between guys that actually is, like, intimate and close.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see that as much, I think, in media, where they're sort of shedding the sort of toxic masculinity and just allowing two men to be close and hold each other and things like that.
That is one thing I really like about our friend group. We can like lay our heads in each other's laps and play with each other's hair. It's just super sweet. Like, it doesn't matter what gender any of us are. We all are touchy-feely cuddly with each other, and it's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. Which is how humanity is supposed to be. Like, our society is so touch-starved, you can't even, like, touch someone's arm without them being like, whoa, like, dude.
Yeah, like everything is also, like, really sexualized.
Yes!
I do realize we are incredibly unique. In the fact that we have known each other for as long as we do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to your point, don't have those sort of reservations about just like being people, like, you know, like not being afraid of being human and thinking that every single thing we do will be sexualized, you know? I didn't really think about it at first, like with all the themes in this show. There's a lot of themes that are like at the forefront, including like mental illness. It is an amazing like achievement in animation, an amazing show. It's the most expensive animated show in history at over $250 million.
Wow.
I'm truly going for random. Next on the docket is Platypus Facts.
Oh my god, I'm excited for that.
The reason I just had to share this was because I learned... Okay, so I think most people know platypuses are mammals that lay eggs. Mm-hmm. The females don't have nipples. They still lactate.
From what gland?
From glands in their skin.
Oh! Oh, wait, I think I knew this because
sweat
the...
milk?
Yes!
Because the babies literally just, like, lick their skin, right? I think I read about this.
Yes, they just beat the milk into the folds of their fur, and their young lick up the milk off of their fur.
Which is really gross. I'm a germaphobe. I don't want skin and fur and ugh in my food. No, thank you.
They're so weird. They're venomous, which I didn't know, but only the males are venomous. It's like sexual. The males use them to compete for females. They'll fight with their venomous back feet.
Interesting. So are they, they're venomous?
Sexually venomous is going to be the name of my next band.
That sounds fire.
Please tell me it's a heavy metal band.
Like,
I was going to ask, are they only venomous?
It's whatever Imagine Dragons is.
Electropop? Are they only venomous to each other, or are they venomous to other species?
I'm sure they are venomous to other species. They're literally like one of the weirdest animals that exists. They glow under UV light. They don't have a stomach.
Is it either an example of or the refutation of intelligent design?
Ness is getting philosophical.
I think it's kind of like a paradox, because if that were an example of intelligent design, it's also a refutation of it. In that if it was designed, then it's stupid design. So now I found some, and we've done this before on like car rides, you and me, Alex, for sure. Am I the Asshole stories?
Yes.
Which I think are always fun. But I tried to find a couple that were like sort of ambiguous, but I also found a couple that feel pretty clear. So I chose this particular story because it's just weird to me. Am I the asshole for sending my sister flowers anonymously and making her husband upset? I, male 37, have always been close to my sister, female 35. We talk regularly, and during one such conversation, she told me she's been feeling really depressed / overwhelmed lately, and as we were talking, I could tell she was holding back tears. So I decided to do something nice for her. I contacted a local florist and put in an order for some flowers. I had them delivered to my sister's place of employment with a note reading, "Thinking of you." A few hours later, the florist called me up and told me that a man had been calling them nonstop and demanding they tell him who sent his wife flowers. They tried to explain that it was against their policy to reveal that information, but the man wouldn't take no for an answer. Apparently, he became so aggressive and threatening on the phone. The shop called me up and asked my permission to reveal the name of the sender to the man, that man being my brother-in-law. It turns out my sister had called her husband and thanked him for the flowers. He told her that he hadn't sent any flowers and accused her of having an affair. He believed her affair partner had sent them to her, which is why he called the florist like a lunatic demanding names. Now my sister is more depressed than ever. And she's been fighting with my brother-in-law ever since. My friends think I should have included my name on the card. Had I done that, they say, this blow-up wouldn't have happened. I say it's my brother-in-law to blame, as he was the one who can't control his temper. So am I the asshole?
I'm really torn on this one, because why did the sibling have to send it anonymously? That's a little weird to me.
Right.
And then the husband immediately jumped to an affair when the wife was calling him to thank him. Like, if she was having an affair, she would have verified who the flowers were from before calling somebody to thank them.
I didn't even think about that, aside from the fact that you should trust your partner, or at least not blow up like a big scary asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, it could have just been like a misdelivery. They could have been just for somebody else, and she got them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like, I think to Alex's point, if I'm that husband and I feel insecure and I think, oh, is this an affair thing? I should be able to reason my way into, if that were the case, she wouldn't have called me. She would have hit it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and thinking of you, that's not romantic. Thinking of you isn't love you.
Yeah. This sounds like a guy who was trying to do a nice thing that he hears is nice. That's probably why he sent it anonymously, because it's a thing that people like and he sees it in movies and things like that and just didn't think it through.
Mm.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. It is weird.
I would say the husband is an asshole and the brother is just kind of socially awkward.
Mm. Mm. I can see that.
Somebody made the point in the comments, what if she's been upset lately because her husband is like this?
Mm.
You know, because surely this isn't the first time he's flown off the handle like this. And so it's irresponsible to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
The trope is the people that get the most angry about cheating are cheaters. So
true projection.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I the asshole for ruining my brother's childhood memory by admitting I photoshopped it 14 years ago? When my younger brother, 20 now, was 6, he went through a huge Harry Potter phase. He loved the wizarding world and believed he might meet Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, mm-hmm. or the other characters on a family trip to Scotland since Hogwarts was there. No one promised him this, but he convinced himself it could happen. Sadly, the trip was canceled after our grandpa passed away, and my brother was devastated for both reasons. To cheer him up, I decided to craft a souvenir. I was 16 and had just discovered Photoshop, so I edited a picture of my brother with Daniel Radcliffe to make it look like they'd met. I printed it, framed it, and gave it to him without telling him it was fake. He loved it and fully believed he'd met Daniel. Soon, he had an entire story about the meeting, what they talked about, how Daniel hugged him, etc. It was so sweet. And none of us, my family and I, had the heart to tell him the truth. Fast forward 14 years, and my brother still didn't know that the old, low-quality picture of him meeting Daniel Radcliffe is fake. I never told him because his memory of the fake meeting felt so real to him that it became one of his proudest memories. Over time, the memory became less important, and the framed picture had been packed away in some box, and my brother had long outgrown his Harry Potter obsession. Yesterday, however, we were at our parents' home and we were bringing up old memories. You know how it goes. The story of meeting Daniel Radcliffe came up, and thinking it was harmless, I told him the truth. I thought he'd laugh, but instead he got visibly upset. He didn't want to believe me at first, thinking I was messing with him. I told him the story, I told him the real story of how and why I did it. He told me that it feels like I robbed him of a childhood memory that he really cherished, and that he feels embarrassed thinking about all the times he's told people about meeting Daniel Radcliffe in person. Even recently. We ended our conversation on a semi-good note, though. I apologize for not telling him sooner, because I do feel bad that it meant so much to him even now. But I don't regret it. Back then, it made him so happy during a rough time. So, and I don't regret giving him that joy. I just didn't realize how much it still meant to him. So I'm wondering, am I or was I the asshole?
I don't think he's the asshole for photoshopping that, because, like, he was making his brother feel better. And I understand why he didn't, like, correct him when the brother was like, oh, I met Daniel Radcliffe. But, like, how? The brother was 6, okay? It's not like he was 2. How does he think he met Daniel Radcliffe? It wasn't like, oh, yeah, I remember this. He was still bummed from not going on the trip. So he knows he didn't go on the trip. So how does he think he met Daniel Radcliffe?
I mean, kids will convince themselves of things when they're really excited about it and want it to be true.
Okay, that's fair.
If you say it enough, you'll eventually believe it, even as an adult.
It's true.
But, I mean, you are right.
Yeah, this is weird.
I like Ness's response of,
I agree that I don't think he was an asshole at the time for doing it. I feel like 20 years is a long time to let it keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's such an important quote-unquote memory, you got to figure how many opportunities were there to tell him that it didn't actually happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There had to have been several opportunities.
The reason the younger brother is mad now is because he's embarrassed because it went on for so long that he's still, as an adult, been telling people that he did this thing that he didn't do. So had the older brother told him much sooner, it would have avoided all that embarrassment. I don't think anybody's an asshole, but I think the older brother should not have waited as long as he did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so random, let's talk about Christmas around the world. Christmas is coming up, and I decided, let's look at some of the ways that people celebrate Christmas around the world. First of all, I think it's interesting that there are such different Christmas traditions, obviously because of different cultures, but also I think because of the sort of pagan origins of Christmas. Christmas is sort of co-opting the winter solstice. So when you look at some of the celebrations of Christmas, it's really kind of like just a sort of evolution of celebration of the winter solstice. So did you know Christmas is a public holiday in 163 countries and 2 territories? Christmas is observed in 21 countries, but is not a public holiday in those 21 countries. And the remaining countries of the world explicitly don't celebrate Christmas. And I'm sure you can probably figure out at least some of which ones those are.
I mean, I would assume the majority Muslim countries would not.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. In the Bahamas, there are Junkanoo festivals, which are held on Christmas, and Boxing Day, and New Year's Day, which is singing, dancing, costumes, food like coconut cake, peas and rice, ham and turkey, plantains, and see if you can guess what other couple things they also during this time.
Some kind of egg.
Well, slash drink.
Eggnog.
Yeah. In Mexico, groups of people participate in what's called posadas. And I don't know, Alex, if you've ever heard of it. They go door to door, like baby Jesus's parents would have, looking for shelter. But it lasts for 9 days. And sometimes people invite those groups into their home to break a piñata.
Mm-hmm.
And in the U.S., a tradition that we have is conservatives defending the war on Christmas against the onslaught of godless heathens telling people happy holidays.
Listen, if I can't go to Starbucks and have Jesus on my cup, what are we even doing?
You know, actually, come to think of it, I haven't heard much about the war on Christmas. Have we won?
I think so.
I learned I'm apparently Japanese because in Japan, Christmas is secularly celebrated in much the same way we would, you know, parties, Christmas lights, shopping, you know, lots of that, exchanging gifts. And apparently the most uniquely Japanese Christmas tradition is eating KFC.
I knew you were going to say that.
I have heard that.
Did you know that you actually have you have to make reservations in order to get KFC on Christmas in Japan?
Yes, I just found that out.
Isn't that weird?
Today. That's weird. Wild. Apparently it started in the 1970s. There was an advertising campaign that pushed eating KFC on Christmas. I wonder what went through those ad people's heads when they realized that they had legitimately changed Japanese culture.
Do you think their version of 12 Days of Christmas uses 11 herbs and spices?
It fits so well. 11 herbs and spices.
I know we're not awarding points, but if we were, Ness, you get a point.
All right.
Yeah, Ness wins. Ness wins. In Norway, they hide brooms and mops on Christmas to prevent evil spirits who come to Earth on Christmas night and would use them to fly.
Hmm.
Oh, well, if not finding a mop keeps evil spirits away, I'm safe.
Wow.
Is that why I'm so cursed? Because I clean all the time? Damn.
I should really invite you over more. These, I think, were some of the coolest sort of traditions that I read about in Caracas, Venezuela. So not like, it's not like a Venezuelan thing. It's just something that is a part of this area. They go to church and ride around on roller skates on Christmas Day.
Really?
To the point that streets are closed to traffic. I am kind of interested in what the origin of that would be. I didn't look that closely into it, but I almost think it's more whimsical if it's in a vacuum.
That's true. Because if you find out it's something like from a horrific tragedy and they're honoring the victim or something, then it's like, it's not fun anymore. So
what the? I need to know about what horrific tragedy would lead to people going around on roller skates.
You didn't hear about when little Mateo got a pair of roller skates for Christmas and he wanted to try them out right away. So he strapped them on and he started going down the street, but then he was run over by a car. And so the townspeople in solidarity for Mateo were like, hey, people should be allowed to roller skate in the street. It's our street too. And they all strapped their roller skates on and started roller skating. And a tradition was born in honor of sweet little 5-year-old Mateo who lost his life on Christmas.
That's forever going to be how that actually happened.
Wikipedia, here I come.
My last tradition was in Iceland, they exchange books and then sit and read aloud together and eat sweets.
That I've heard that
lovely.
Well.
I think it's like so chill and lovely, especially like considering for a lot of people, Christmas is really stressful. That transitions us perfectly to my next topic that I'm going to call Eat the Rich.
All right.
I saw this. I thought it was interesting. And I hadn't talked about it with either of you. But did you hear about the woman who was arrested for her conversation with her insurance company over the phone?
Yes.
No.
Her name is Brianna Boston. She's from Florida. She's 42. She called her insurance company about a denied claim. I guess the conversation did not go well. And at the end of the phone call, she said, delay, deny, depose. You people are next. She was arrested and she's facing 15 years in prison.
That seems a bit much.
I saw a post that said if she can get arrested for saying that, then why aren't all the your body, my choice people getting arrested, because that's also a threat.
Oh, what a great
very
point.
True.
Yeah, that is pretty close to a perfect counterpoint.
That guy did get arrested.
But for something different.
Wait, did he?
Because a lady went to his house and just rang his doorbell and he opened it and immediately assaulted her.
I remember, I did hear about this. He like maced her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a reporter, and that's why she wanted to talk to him. She was trying to get his side of the story for an article.
Oh.
And so she was there in good faith. It wasn't like she was like, oh, I'm just going to go start something. She was doing her job.
That is so shitty. You just know a guy like that. You know, this is why Arcane is such a good show, by the way, because it addresses things like toxic masculinity. More about Brianna Boston, the prosecuting lawyer wanted her on GPS house arrest to, quote, protect the community.
That's stupid.
I don't think her insurance company lives next door to her.
That was exactly my thought. If anybody's being threatened, it's not the community. She reportedly told police that insurance companies deserve, quote, deserved karma from the world because they are evil.
I would say that's objectively true.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So the reason that delay is one of the words in the, like, motto of what you need to do for claims is because if you delay long enough, either the person will not want to keep fighting, so they will stop trying to get the claim okayed, or the person will die, so you won't have to bother with getting the claim okayed.
What's that saying? A single death is a tragedy, but millions are a statistic.
Yeah.
I was reading several people's articulation of the way that violence is defined. Yes, me punching somebody or me shooting somebody is violence, but allowing a system to exist in which people end up dying on purpose is also violence.
Yes, agreed. And I think it's also the difference between direct and indirect, because we have a video of the shooter shooting the CEO.
Right.
We can see that cause an effect right there happen. We can't really see the cause and effect of random Joe from Kansas's cancer delayed treatment. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, yeah. And that's why people can't grasp that the insurance companies are violent and what they're doing to us is violence.
Although an active decision was made to utilize AI that had a, 98% failure rate, mm-hmm. or inaccuracy rate, and they knew about it.
Yeah.
And if something like that happened on a more direct level, it would be at least considered like negligent homicide or something like that.
Yeah.
Eat the Rich.
Yes.
Actually, do you know where Eat the Rich comes from?
I always assumed it was in response to Let Them Eat Cake.
No.
That would have been my guess as well.
But it comes from Pierre Gaspard Chaumette, president of the Paris Commune, gave a speech to the city during the Reign of Terror in which he said, "When the people shall have nothing more to eat, they will eat the rich."
Okay, so similar time frame.
Oh yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Like, exact
like,
same.
Yeah, when people say eat the rich, I think it can be seen as sort of like aggressive in terms of directly attacking, but it's really more about the circumstances that would lead to that. When people have nothing left to lose, they will do anything for their survival.
Well, and it's also in that context, the rich and their greed is what had created the famine. And so that is the solution, not just short term to give them sustenance, but also long term, because you're eliminating the source of the problem. And so
yeah.
you eventually yeah. will alleviate the issue by eating the rich.
Ness, are you gonna watch Arcane season 2?
Almost certainly. Whether or not I was going to before I was educated on it, I don't know, but yeah, I'll get around to it.
Alex, are you gonna watch Arcane?
I'm not gonna lie, you guys got me interested in it. I might. I don't really watch TV and movies though, so it's hard for me. Like, if I'm watching something, it's probably a documentary, because okay, for our listeners, for 15 years of my life, I was a professional theater director. My job was to watch a fictional story and find everything that was wrong with it and fix it before it got in front of an audience. And I can't shut yeah. that off. So when I watch TV show or movies that are fiction, I find all the mistakes and it ruins it for me. And I really hate that I can't enjoy media in the same way as others.
Yeah, that is a good point. It would be interesting to see your perspective on that, to be sure. Because I actually don't think you're going to find that many things that are like wrong per se, but it may be hard to turn off the sort of analytical mindset sort of in the other direction, where you'll notice the foreshadowing, mm-hmm. and the parallels and things like that.
I had a lot of people that were really mad at me because I absolutely loved The Last Jedi, because one, the cinematography is amazing, but two, the use of lighting and the makeup artistry in it has a lot of foreshadowing that other people didn't really pick up on. And so I really enjoyed that movie because of the lighting and makeup artistry.
Yeah, I don't pick up on that stuff near as much as you. I enjoyed it because I think my standards aren't as high for stuff like that as other people's are. But I really do. It's hard to not sound like I'm exaggerating with how good this show is, in my opinion.
It is. Yeah. Very good. Even if the story doesn't necessarily latch on to you, the quality of the program is objectively excellent.
I would probably enjoy it then.
Yeah. The animation is unreal to me. It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
I'll probably have to rewatch the first season just to remember things. Yeah, I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it. And you have to finish watching Haiku.
I need to see the movies. I need to watch the, like, 2 episodes. It's bad. It's real bad. Because how many seasons of it are there? Of Haikyuu are there, Ness?
4?
And I haven't seen the, like, last 2 episodes, and that's it. I got right up to the end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. And another show that I need to watch that was suggested by Ness is Dan to Dan. Ooh. I keep hearing...
Yes.
Yeah, I keep hearing from other people how good that show is.
I had that written on my whiteboard.
I wholeheartedly recommend it.
What were you saying?
I was just saying I had written that on my whiteboard at one point because Ness sold it so hard to me that I thought I might check it out. I never did, but it was pretty close.
I was selling it to everybody.
The way you feel about Dan to Dan is the way that I feel about Arcane. I don't really have favorites in general. I just have, like, things that I really like at a particular time. But I honestly think that, like, by any reasonable definition of the word, Arcane might be my favorite show. I cried every episode.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I'm thinking about it now.
Oh, poor sweetie.
Well, that has been pretty much random.
Literally, because you didn't have an overarching theme. You were just like, hey, let's talk about stuff. I love it.
Yeah, literally. I wanted the things that I brought up to be as disparate as possible.
Nice. I enjoy that.
The only real goal I had was to make Ness finish watching her game. That was my goal. Be as random as possible and make you guys watch Arcane.
Okay, not to get philosophical, right, but is it random if your intention is to be random?
No.
I like how you're like...
You know what? I'm going to retract my statement and say yes, actually, because we don't mean random in a stochastic sense. Mm. We mean random in a colloquial sense.
Okay, that's fair.
So it is random. That's our outro.
That is.
I actually titled this Arcane Review, A Plea to Get You to Watch It. I did not talk about most things that I wrote down about Arcane.
I think you sold it well enough.
Yeah.
Had me an implosion.
I have an analysis of every character's arc.
You did miss out my favorite random Christmas thing.
What?
I think
when
it's
did you mention
Catalonia.
It?
We just moved on before I thought about it. They, like, anthropomorphize a log, like, put a face on it, and hit it with sticks while singing a song, and it poops out presents. I'll tell
I
you
bet
what it's
that
called.
Has something to do with a Yule log.
Yeah.
Probably. But the song is specifically about it pooping the presents.
I thought you were being facetious when you said pooping.
No, that's part of it.
Where's Catalonia? Oh, yeah. It's in Spain. Yeah, why wouldn't I have thought that? I'm really bad with geography. I don't even know if I could name off all 50 states.
If you ever want help learning, I've got some really good tips and tricks on how to identify which states are which.
Okay, yeah.
And if you need to know about obscure 80s toy lines, I got you.
Hell yeah.
One of my favorite things is that, like, in Arabic, the countries are basically, you say them in Arabic basically how you would in English, except for Egypt, which is Misr. All the other countries, like Syria, Suria, Lebanon, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Saudia. But yeah, Egypt is totally not that at all.
This just slightly reminded me, but Sammy, you should check out the comedian Nish Kumar. He is freaking hilarious, but I know he does speak Arabic, and I believe he's got a bit about it. I'll have to find it and send it to you, but I absolutely love Nish Kumar. He's so funny.
I just looked him up.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He looks very Arabic, more than I do. Well, peace out then.
Love you guys. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Love you.
You too.
Bye.
Also, if any of our listeners do ever want to correct us, the email address is prettymuchrandompod@gmail.com.
For those of you wondering, yes, Ness has started watching Arcane Season 2.